From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness.
We're delighted that you've joined us for another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. On today's program, Dr. Cairns continues a message called Total Transformation, part of a series dealing with Romans chapter 8. The text is verse 9, in which the Apostle Paul shows how a person may know that he truly belongs to Christ, that he has really been born again. First of all, we see that salvation is the work of the triune God. The text contains references to all three persons of the Holy Trinity, and each has a role in the salvation of a soul. Dr. Cairns will be with us shortly. First, we invite your attention to this brief devotional thought taken from C.H. Spurgeon's collection called Morning and Evening. This morning's text is found in Isaiah chapter 30 and verse 18. Therefore will the Lord wait, that he may be gracious unto you. God often delays in answering prayer. We have several instances of this in sacred scripture. Jacob did not get the blessing from the angel until near the dawn of day. He had to wrestle all night for it. The poor woman of Syrophoenicia was answered not a word for a long while. Paul besought the Lord thrice that the thorn in the flesh might be taken from him, and he received no assurance that it should be taken away, but instead thereof a promise that God's grace should be sufficient for him. If thou hast been knocking at the gate of mercy, and hast received no answer, shall I tell thee why the mighty Maker hath not opened the door and let thee in? Our Father has reasons peculiar to himself for thus keeping us waiting. Sometimes it is to show his power and his sovereignty, that men may know that Jehovah has a right to give or to withhold. More frequently, the delay is for our profit. Thou art perhaps kept waiting in order that thy desires may be more fervent. God knows that delay will quicken and increase desire, and that if he keeps thee waiting, thou wilt see thy necessity more clearly, and wilt seek more earnestly, and that thou wilt prize the mercy all the more for its long tarrying. There may also be something wrong in thee which has need to be removed before the joy of the Lord is given. Perhaps thy views of the gospel plan are confused, or thou mayest be placing some little reliance on thyself instead of trusting simply and entirely to the Lord Jesus. Or God makes thee tarry a while, that he may the more fully display the riches of his grace to thee at last. Thy prayers are all filed in heaven, and if not immediately answered, they are certainly not forgotten, but in a little while shall be fulfilled to thy delight and satisfaction. Let not despair make thee silent, but continue instant in earnest supplication. Thank you.
selection you have just heard is part of a CD entitled Our Song of Praise, featuring the piano artistry and arrangements of Joan J. Pinkston, who serves as pianist at Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. For over 40 years, Joan has taught music theory, hymn playing, and composition to thousands of Christian young people at Bob Jones University. During that time, she has sought to instill in them a Christ-centered view of sacred music. Joan's philosophy of sacred music is summed up in her words, "There is really no such thing as sacred music without words. It is the Word of God that draws a Christian closer to Christ. Only when biblical thoughts are expressed in words, as with a psalm, a hymn, or a spiritual song, can any music be considered sacred. When the message of the words and the impact of the music are in harmony, the greatest communication takes place." Our Song of Praise features 13 of Joan's arrangements of such favorite hymns as Jesus Paid It All Hail the Power of Jesus' Name, and Be Thou My Vision. This beautiful and inspiring CD would make a wonderful Christmas gift for family and friends. Copies of Our Song of Praise may be obtained from Faith Free Presbyterian Church. The price is $15 per CD, which includes postage and handling. Simply email ltbs@freepres.org. That's ltbs@freepres.org. If you wish, you may write, "Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's "Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Contact us today for your copy of Our Song of Praise.
The message is clear. A justified man is pleasing to God. He's not any longer condemned, but acceptable to God. And the proof of this status, or this change in status, is that the Holy Spirit now dwells within him as the controlling principle and power of his life, without which indwelling, no man, no matter what else he has, can have any part or interest in Christ's saving work or merit. That's the message. Now, last week we looked at verse 7 and 8. Notice total depravity. Carnal mind is enmity against God. It's not subject to the law of God. And then total inability. Neither indeed can be, and they that are in the flesh cannot please God. We looked at total depravity and total inability. Now we come to the story of grace, which is the story of total transformation. You are not in the flesh, but you're in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. I want to make some very simple but far-reaching remarks on these words of the apostle. First and foremost, we should start at the beginning and notice that salvation is the work of the triune God. You have here a reference to the working of the Holy Trinity in the salvation of sinners. Notice the words in verse 9, you're not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. There's a triple reference to the Spirit here. The Spirit. Then in the next word or two, he's the Spirit of God. And then at the end of the text, it's the Spirit of Christ. The Spirit of God. The Spirit of Christ. Now the reference here is to the person of the Holy Spirit. Paul has already been expounding the obedience of the Son. For example, in chapter 5, he spends some time showing how it is the obedience of Christ, the obedience of God's Son, that is imputed to us to constitute us righteous and acceptable in God's sight. Earlier in this chapter, verses 3 and 4, he has mentioned the commission of the Father. God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, condemn sin in the flesh. So he has spoken of the work of the Son, he has spoken of the commission of the Father, and now he deals with the particular ministry of the Holy Spirit. And it's interesting, as you go down the rest of this chapter, you will see that there is quite an emphasis on the person and upon the ministry of God the Holy Spirit. It is a divine person that Paul is speaking about here. And I emphasize that because you see there are people, mostly liberals, who come to a passage like this and they pervert it completely to present people with a gospel that is not a gospel, but is a message of destruction. And what they say is that Paul is saying if you're going to be saved, you have got to have the Spirit of Christ. You know, the idea is not of a Holy Spirit there. They're saying you've got to have the mind of Christ. You've got to have the disposition of Christ. You've got to have the attitude of Christ. So, when you have the spirit of an American, the spirit of a warrior, doesn't say you're indwelt by some outside person or force. No, it says you display the characteristics of that one. And according to many liberals, this is what Paul is saying. And so what they are telling you is, if you're going to be justified and freed from condemnation, and you're going to be blessed with salvation, you do so by emulating the characteristics of Jesus Christ. Which, to put it in different words, is salvation by works. Salvation by Christ's example. There's no expiation of guilt. There's no satisfaction of divine justice. There's no sacrifice to put away sin. There's no mediatorial work of Christ, our prophet, priest, and king. According to this liberal notion, you emulate the characteristics of Christ and you gain salvation. That's the farthest thing from what Paul is teaching here in the book of Romans. That is a cursed perversion of his message. It's something that he would utterly have abominated. What the apostle is setting before us here is not the spirit in the sense of the characteristics or attitude, but the personal Holy Spirit of God. He is the Spirit. That's the reference to His own person in the Trinity. He's the Spirit of God who's been identified in verse 3 as the Father. He is the Spirit of Christ who is the Son. We have this divine work, salvation, a work of the triune God. We read tonight in John chapter 14, the great passage concerning the coming of the Holy Spirit, where the Lord Jesus promised in chapter 14, verse 16, that He would pray the Father, and the Father would send another Comforter in the place of Christ, a person in the place of a person. In verse 17, He's called the Spirit of Truth. Notice the world cannot receive Him. There's again the inability of sinners. The world cannot receive the Holy Spirit for two reasons. Number one, they can't see Him. But even more so, they don't know Him. And He goes on to say in verse 17, but you know Him. You can't see Him either. But you know Him, for He dwelleth with you and shall be in you. In verse 26, the Lord Jesus speaks of the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father shall send in My name. We read in chapter 16, and in verse 7, Jesus said, it's expedient for you that I go away. If I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send Him unto you. So here you have this wonderful reference to the working of the Holy Trinity. Let me get off on a tangent here just for a moment. These are texts that have to do with the Trinity working in what's called the economy of salvation or redemption. This is the Trinity working the redemption of sinners. These words have been used, that the Spirit proceedeth from the Father. They have been used in a much deeper and wider theological context. And the exposition of them was the cause, or at least it was the stated cause. Historically, there were many, many other things leading up to this. For the first great schism in the unified church. The Greek church split from the Latin church. The Eastern from the European. And it was on the procession of the Spirit. There had been for centuries this argument between them. It came to be accepted as orthodoxy in the Latin church. The Protestant churches have followed the Latin church in this, that the Spirit proceeds eternally from the Father and the Son. Whereas the Greek church said, no, He proceeds from the Father. To be quite honest, I believe that there is much to be gained by emphasizing the distinct personality of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit within the unity of the Godhead. And what distinguishes the Father is paternity, the Son is what's called filiation, and the Spirit is procession. I think there's a great deal to be gained by keeping those things clearly in mind. But I'm always a little leery when theologians think they can be wiser than men can be. They start telling us things and defining in very, very definite terms things that cannot possibly be understood. There is a unity in the divine essence, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, three persons in one indivisible divine essence. We believe that because the Bible teaches that, not because we can explain it. And I think when theologians are willing to divide churches over a dogma of the procession of the Spirit and what it means when they haven't a clue in the world what it means, I think is more than a little sad. That he does proceed. Let's admit that and say, the Bible teaches that. We can take that what happens in salvation is in some way a reflection of what is eternally and essentially true in the Godhead. Let's believe that, but let's not try defining the indefinable. I could go on when it comes into these intra-Trinitarian relationships, but if you want more of that, you'll have to come to GRS. We're not going to be doing it tonight. Here, when the Scriptures are teaching that the Spirit is sent and the Spirit proceeds, it is in the economy of salvation. It's the Father and the Son sending the Holy Spirit to apply the work of Jesus Christ savingly to men and women around the world. The Trinity is active for our salvation. Now that is a wonderful thought. I want you to stop and let it sink in. How hard must the work of salvation be when it has to be the work of the Holy Trinity? How hard a work, how difficult a work. Go back to verses 5 through 8. Look at the picture they paint. And you'll see, they that are in Adam, they that are out of Christ, they who are in the state of nature, they can never please God. Can't be done. The carnal mind can never be reduced to subjection to the mind and the will and the law of God. That's an absolute statement of truth. Now, when you look at that black picture of humanity, those verses seem to leave men utterly hopeless. And unless God intervenes, the situation is hopeless. That's the teaching of Scripture. This is where every man-made religion in the world goes wrong. This is where every false dogma of salvation goes wrong. They all combine with all their different gods and idols and theories and dogmas. They all combine in one pernicious lie that somehow, someway, men can do something to ameliorate their spiritual state and ultimately gain some sort of salvation. That's the dogma of the religion of devils. But the truth of God's word is, you look at the state of man, and it's so black and dark, it's absolutely hopeless. Sinners are not sick, simply. They're dead. Dead in trespasses and in sin. Sinners are not just mostly evil or balanced between good and evil toward God. They are utterly, completely, and irreversibly depraved. And that corruption touches every part of their being. And especially, it's corrupted the will.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope that you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of God, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, A New Beginning, a booklet that sets forth God's way of salvation in clear, concise, and biblical ways, you may have it free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Also, we invite you to visit our website at www.faithfpc.org. If you would be interested in considering the establishment of a Free Presbyterian Church in your area, by all means, let us know. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us Monday through Friday at this same time as we let the Bible speak.